Hello, this is Utah Phillips, and you're listening to Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. Math Class by Ernie Brill. Figure at a minimum one steer every 2 minutes, 30 steers an hour, pulling 200-pound hides off each. 6,000 pounds of hide an hour, 48,000 pounds of hide a day, 240,000 pounds of hide a week, 12 million pounds of hide a year. Working over 30 years, that's over 360 million pounds of cowhide. One guy, two hands. Well, here we are again. That, by the way, I was reciting to begin with Ernie Brill, Math Classes from an Anthology of Poetry on the Job, edited by Tom Wayman, old fellow worker Tom Wayman up in Vancouver, British Columbia. We'll be hearing more from them a little bit later on. Support for this program was provided by the Heyshan World Fund of the Tides Foundation, for which we're very, very appreciative. I'm here in the studios of KVMR with Steve Baker, the engineer. You were just listening to Hawks and Eagles, of course, who did the theme music. KVMR, community radio in the foothills of the Sierra, the only cure for audiophobia, here in my current home, Nevada City, California. Nevada City, a little lost town up in the Sierra. This place is the birthplace of the man who planted the bushes a bird in the hand is with two of in. I know it's hard to believe. A while ago, I did a program of labor songs, starting with the origin of the word strike and on up through the ongoing battle for the eight-hour day. And I promised you that I would put together a program of contemporary labor music, music that that I've collected around the country on picket lines and here and there, to demonstrate that the labor movement continues to be a singing movement. You know, it was always characterized historically as a singing movement because very often the only way you had to communicate among people who spoke 10 or 12 different languages and had never been to school, the immigrant workers, was through extremely simple songs like Joe Hill's songs that would take sometimes complex economic issues and boil them down to words that everybody could understand. And the feeling has been, as I've traveled around, that as a singing movement has largely died out. Well, I found that not to be true. If you get out of the union hall, out of the office, and down onto the picket line, you find that people organically make up picket line songs. So I'm going to play you some of those that I've collected with my little tape recorder or whatever happened to be handy. Some of these are of not a real high engineering standard, you understand. Some of these I made while mounted the police on horseback were busy knocking over the police barricades on top of me and my guitar. So you just have to bear with it. The spirit is there, all right? The place I used to love to play a long time ago was up in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories in Canada, way up by the Arctic Circle. They had a folk festival called Folk on the Rocks. And it was the only festival I ever played where the majority of the participants were native people. So I had a chance to hear the throat singers from Dorchester and a button accordion player from the highest settled point in North America, way up at Cape Resolution. And he'd learned to play the button accordion from his grandfather, great-grandfather, who had learned it from marooned Scottish whale fishermen who spent the rest of their lives in those Eskimo villages. I hadn't been up there for quite a long time. And then I was playing a festival in Winnipeg, and some people came to me and said, are you able to come up to Yellowknife again? I said, what's going on? As if this isn't the festival time. They said, well, there's a strike going on up there, the Royal Oak Giant Mine. It's a gold mine. And they showed me later that night a video of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the head of the police shooting blind down the middle of the street and people scattering one direction or the other, the dogs outside the fence at the mine. And I had decided that I was going to go up there. As it turned out, I wasn't able to make it. They sent me a whole lot of material about that, including one of the Picket Line songs from the Royal Oak Giant Mine. First, though, they sent me this letter that had been printed in the newspaper up there from Jacqueline Crouch, Jr., and I'll read you that letter, and then we'll play you the strike song from the Battle of the Royal Oak Giant Mine, which, by the way, had been bought by a person from Ely, Nevada, and had determined that she was going to reopen it as a non-union mine, was going to break the contract. Dear Editor, my name is Jacqueline Couch, Jr. I am 12 years old. Some people may not think that 12 is very old, but I have been here in Yellowknife since I was 16 months old, and this is my town as much as anyone's. With this strike, we may have to move. As my dad says, without a job, I can't bring home the bacon. I don't want to move. I love my town, my friends, my school, and I love my bedroom and my house. If we have to move, my baby brother, who was born here, will never know how nice this town and all the people are, how much fun Caribou Carnival and Folk on the Rocks is. This strike is not fair. We never see my dad. He is a proud dad and feels he has to be out on the line to get this over with. Daddy, we love you. My mom, sometimes I see her crying. She has a big heart, and it is sad, and that makes me sad. My mom does her part to get this strike over with, so that leaves me, 12 years old, to look after the house and my baby brother. Royal Oak Mines and Miss Peggy has not only taken away my mom and dad, maybe someday our home, but also has taken away some of my childhood. This is not fair. It doesn't matter who you are. Look at all this mess. This is not fair to anyone to do this to me and to my baby brother. Sincerely, Jacqueline Crouch, Jr.
In Yellowknife, a flame burns bright of solidarity. In the cold and long, dark northern night, it burns. There's working families on the line for the right to work safely. A tiny flame against the northern night. They need our solidarity to keep it bright. Among Royal Oak Union miners, their friends and families, locked out of the mine, they're on the line, fighting for mine safety, against court injunctions, scabs and dogs, and against the RCMP. That's the Royal Oak Special Detachment, paid for by your taxes, a private army for the Royal Oak Company. On the business page, she's all the rage. She's Royal Oak's new boss. Big business cheers, she's man of the year. That gal can sure cut costs. On the workers' side, they don't deny she's caused them terrible loss. So the wives of union miners together and agreed they'd form the Casson Ladies Association for strike support. That class for you brought trouble to the company. But no evidence could they provide, though their verdict came So the locked out union men who walked the line for mine safety were looked on with suspicion. It's so easy to blame the victim, but no official finger pointed.
Battle of the Royal Oak Giant Mine. Now, that doesn't sound like your normal labor song, does it? That doesn't sound like the Almanac Singers and Pete Seeger. I mean, Woody Guthrie. They created great labor music, but that music took on the tone of those times. It's like Joe Hill using popular tune models that everybody knew and were being sung in the gin mills, you see, and then putting new words to them because everybody already knew the tune. No, that's one of the characteristics of our labor music, is it follows the course of the people, as it follows the course of labor, that it takes on the shape and the sound of whatever music happens to be going on today. That song mentioned an explosion up there in Yellowknife. Well, that's true. There was a terrible explosion in the mine. It was finally determined that when the mine brought in scabs, the scab didn't know the work, and one of them made a dumb mistake that nobody that had been working on the job for a long time would think of making, and that's what caused the explosion, and 9 of them passed away. Elaine Parkey, whom I met in the Old Songs Festival in Voorheesville, New York. Now, Elaine Parkey came up from the Southwest Virginia. She had been very much involved in the Pittston strike, the Pittston coal strike. That's when a new company bought the coal mines and was going to cut off the old pensioners from their pensions. You know, so many of these companies that come in and acquire another company, They pay the debt for that by raiding the union pension funds, just like Maxam is doing here up in Northern California with Pacific Lumber. Well, she was a miner's wife, sang locally in the bars, made up songs now and again. She got so involved in the Pittston strike, she found that she could write those picket line songs. She and I were supposed to invited to fly up together to Yellowknife, but that explosion happened, and people were so riled up in town that they recommended that we not go up there. It was in the dead of winter, and we would have had to go in by a ski plane. We were singing there in old songs, and I sang Bread and Roses, the old song of the Lawrence Textile Strike. And as an introduction, I quoted Joe Ator, 1912, the organizer of the Lawrence Textile Strike, in front of 20,000 workers massed in front of the old Austin Mill, and Joe Ator saying, "The workers with their hands in their pockets have more power than the combined power of the bosses, besides which the bosses can't put their hands there." Well, Elaine Parkey heard that. It's a couple of years later that I wound up with this tape recording of a picket line song she'd written from West Virginia, called Labor Has Its Hands in Its Pockets.
A man went out to work one day in the coal fields of West Virginia. The boss said, "Today we'll do it my way, or back to your house I'll send you." The man then said, "We'll go by the book, or you won't be running no coal, 'cause we'll stand around and we'll break no ground, and then we'll see if your black coal can roll. Now you can talk to the government and talk to the law, and it ain't a-gonna do you no good, 'cause I'll talk to the unions and they'll all help me. They already told me they would." So he called out his brothers and his sisters too, and they all stood back and watched it. And nothing was moving and no one was working, 'cause labor had its hands in its pockets. Now we got the power, we got the might, we got the last word now. We've paralyzed the nation and stopped all creation, and no one had to show us how. There are no powers any greater than ours. If you start it, we can stop it. You can say what you will, but you've got an empty till, cause labor's got its hands in its pockets. Now I said all that just to ask you this: why can't all labor unite? All little unions feed one main line, make corporate America turn white. We cripple the big guys, nothing would move. They couldn't even manage to stock it. Well, you'll have to admit their hands can't get in when labor's got its hands in its pockets. Yeah, we stopped everything that money can buy, cause labor's got its hands in its pockets.
A real song of the general strike, just written a couple of years ago. That's wonderful. I'm so pleased to be able to exhume this stuff, a lot of which has been underwater down in my basement, and be able to resurrect it and to play it for you and to talk about these things. I was getting off an airplane. I don't like to fly, you know, because everything in those airplanes was built by the lowest bidder. I got off of the airplane, had fetched my luggage, was walking outside, and there was a picket line. It was the Eastern Airlines strike. So I put down my luggage and I said, give me one of those signs, which I think is an appropriate thing to do. You want to make sure all of those people are happy with their work, because I'm at 30,000 feet in the air and I want them all to be really happy and satisfied with their work. Damn it. We're all in it together. We started walking around in a circle and I started doing chin music, talking, of course, you know. And I said, as we were walking, now I see flight attendants for Northwest Orient walking into the work up there, and I see flight attendants for United walking into work down there, and they belong to the same union. Isn't that union scabbing? Why, what would it be like if everybody that worked for the airline, from pilots to baggage handlers to flight attendants, if you all belonged to one airline industrial union, would you be out here walking? No, you might wind up owning an airline. Well, of course, at that point, the shop steward sort of intervened and said, well, we got to keep this thing moving. But I hope I made the point. Nonetheless, I did manage to pick up Eastern Airlines' strike song. Here it is.
Oh, I ain't gonna work tomorrow, and I ain't gonna work today. I ain't gonna work tomorrow, for I'm flying the Union way. Can't you hear those engines humming? Well, they're making a mournful sound. The planes will not be running, for the pilots are on the ground. Oh, I ain't gonna work tomorrow, and I ain't gonna work today. I ain't gonna work tomorrow, for I'm flying the Union way. Oh, Lorenzo's anti-union, and he wants to cut the pay. And $12 fares won't matter, cause I'm flying the Union way. Oh, I ain't gonna work tomorrow, and I ain't gonna work today. I ain't gonna work tomorrow, for I'm flying the Union way.
Oh, good. An old tune made over. That's another thing that's part of the labor movement as a singing movement, is to take the old and use it again and again and again, and make it new all the time. Split Shift is a part of the Vancouver Industrial Writers Union. They put out their own books and their own recordings. The Vancouver Industrial Writers Union is a group of a dozen authors. They're committed to promoting the new fiction, poetry, and drama. It's written by people about their daily work. It was founded in 1979. We're going to listen to my old friend, fellow worker Tom Wayman, one of the most published poets in Canada, very little known down here in the States, his recording of one of his poems called The Big Theft. And then, right after that, I ran into a woman named Hetty Hilburn at the Western Workers' Heritage Festival, an electrician and worker from Louisville, Kentucky, who was visiting friends out there. And she got up on the stage with her guitar, which you can hardly hear in this recording. It wasn't mic'd awfully well. She's going to sing you a song called The Powerhouse Blues.
It's one of those myths from the workplace, told by somebody who is sure the story is true. So you believe it, until you find yourself listening to another version of the tale. In this case, let's call it the Big Theft. I first heard it in a truck assembly plant. Before you came, Tom, there was a guy, Roger Hutchison, worked here, an old-timer. The guard caught him at the gate one afternoon, leaving with an oil pressure gauge in his lunch kit. Hell, we all take something home if we can use it, clips or seat cushions. Roger was just unlucky and got nabbed. But for some reason, they went around to his house and discovered a nearly completed truck in his garage. Over the years, he had boosted, piece by piece, almost everything for it. He'd obviously gotten help moving the larger items, like the frame or the engine, from the parts yard. But he had built pretty damn close to an entire tractor unit in his spare time. Then at coffee on a renovation job, Donnie used to be employed at a brickworks, where a man each day took a brick home in his lunchbox. Only one brick. But when the man dropped dead of a heart attack the week before he was due to retire, they found he had stockpiled a few bricks less than the total he needed to construct his dream house. How this myth began isn't hard to grasp. Even the dullest among us can understand no amount of money the company pays really compensates for the time and effort the job takes out of our lives. As the slogan says, the things we give up to go to work are never returned. It's pleasant to imagine some person someplace turning the tables. And as with every myth, there's a lesson here. This teaches we can gain possession of what we make where we are employed, but not by acting alone. Plus, it is evident, rent-a-cops aren't posted at the office door at quitting time to check the executives' briefcases or certain envelopes addressed to the owners. If these containers were opened, inside would be revealed, part of the value of the labor we perform each shift being snuck out past the fence. What these people remove secretly isn't material required on this job, so they don't consider their actions stealing. Yet from our work, a group of men and women get richer than us without even asking us to vote on whether we consent to this situation. And that's no myth.
I wrote this song. I'm an electrician by trade. I worked construction for about 12 years before I got hired on at Ford Motor Company, and that's a different story. This is the first foreman I had as an apprentice was terrible. So when I got home at night, I'd work on this song. It's to the tune of the old Winsboro Cotton Mill Blues. Me no foreman walking the floor. Damned old fool keeps hollering for more. Now he take the nickel off a dead man's eyes to buy a mad dog and an Eskimo pie. I got the blues, got the blues, got the old gent powerhouse blue. Lordy, lordy, work is hard. You know and I know, no need to tell. Work for Tom Fox, you gotta work like hell. I got those old gent powerhouse blues. Now when I die, don't bury me deep. Put me down on Chestnut Street and place those wire strippers in my hand so I can strip in the promised land. I got the blues, got the blues, got the old gent powerhouse blues. Join in. Lordy, lordy, work is hard. You know and I know, no need to tell. Work for Shelley Kessler, gotta work like hell. I got those old gent powerhouse blues. Now when I die, don't bury me at all. Hang me up on the two-room wall and place that screwdriver in my hand so I can screw in the promised land. I got the blues, got the blues, got the old gent powerhouse blues. Lordy, lordy, work is hard. You know and I know, no need to tell. Work for Tom Watson, gotta work like hell. I got those old gent powerhouse blues. Now, at the time, I had a roommate who was also an electrician's apprentice. And when she moved in, she said, I don't write and I don't sing, so don't ask. And I was sitting in my bedroom one night playing on this song, and she knocked on the door and said, I wrote a verse for that song you've been working on. This is Sue's verse. Now when I die, don't bury me deep. Place those steel-toed boots on my feet and place that hard hat on my head so OSHA won't write me up after I'm dead. I got the blues, got the blues, got the old gent powerhouse blues. Lordy, lordy, work is hard. You know and I know, no need to tell. Work for Tom Watson, gotta work like hell. I got those old gent powerhouse blues.
Well, here we are back again after a little dip into Blind Kenny Hall of Fresno, California, one of my favorite musicians. I know I might, some people seem a little bit off of my feed, my usual fountain of loquacity. That's because I have a little upper respiratory infection and taking antibiotics, so I feel a little fuzzy. But so why not just let the workers speak for themselves? I was in Austin, Minnesota for the Hormel strike. Now, we say Hormel, but they say Hormel, and I assume they're right because they work there. Yeah, Austin, Minnesota. Strike lasted for a long time, and they were disfellowshipped, thrown into receivership by their own union, United Food and Commercial Workers Union, who took over the union hall, painted out that beautiful mural they had on the side of it with Nelson Mandela and all of the people they regarded as heroes. These were rank-and-file workers, folks, meatpackers. As the only time at a labor rally, I sang to them in the National Guard Army that I was ever heckled to the point where I couldn't continue. And some years later, a woman told me when I was over in Minneapolis, and she had been there, she said, you know, that was a Socialist Worker Party. They had all come and wanted to make sure that nobody was able to hear you. And so they stood in the back and made a lot of racket. Well, right now, let's go back to that strike. First, you're going to hear a talk about why the strike was happening by a worker on the line, and then Dennis Jones doing Proud to March with P9, the strike song.
Hormel's is a slaughtering and processing plant. We have a hog kill and a hog cut, and then it goes through the plant being processed into canned hams or bacon and so on. Your most undesirable jobs are like in the hog kill department and hog cut department where you say snatch guts. I'll say that because I used to be a gut snatcher 10 years ago. And in the last 10 years, the concessions that we gave up before we went out on strike 6 months ago, for what I got paid for snatching guts back in 1976 and 1986, the worker doing it now gets half the money I made when I did it. And still they want more. Before we went out on strike, to go to the bathroom you would have to raise your hand, and that is the fact. You did have to raise your hand to get excused to go to the bathroom. Now that's no dignity. The work injury rate in the plant is the worst. We are fighting to have that investigated and to get better. Seniority system they're completely gutting. They can put you where they want you, when they want you. They can work you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and send you home Thursday and Friday, and work you Saturday and Sunday at no premium pay, such as time and a half. The contract says that you work 5 days a week. They determine the 5 days that you work.
You've been looking around Princeton town. You can't find me nowhere. Oh, come on down to Austin town. I'll be marching down there. I'll be marching down there. You can't find me nowhere. Oh, come on down to Mauer County. I'll be marching down there. I'll be marching down there. Oh, I'll be marching down there. Oh, come on down to Mauer County. I'll be marching down there. Me nine, walking proud on the picket line. I'm going down to Mauer County. Checking out North Star Steel, and you can't find me nowhere. Oh, come on over to the Hormel Gates. I'll be marching over there. I'll be marching over there. Oh, I'll be marching over there. Oh, come on over to the Hormel Gates. I'll be marching over there. Oh, you've been lounging around the Union Hall. Can't find me nowhere. Oh, come on over to that picket. I'll be marching over there. I'll be marching over there. I'll be marching over there. Oh, come on over to the picket line. I'll be marching over there. D9, walking proud on the picket line. I'm going down to Mauer County, proud to march D9. You've been looking for Larry and his mandolin. Can't seem to find him nowhere. Oh, come on over to the picket line. He'll be a picking over there. He'll be a picking over there. He'll be picking over there. Oh, come on over to the picket line. He'll be picking over there. You've been looking for a song to sing. Can't seem to find one nowhere. Well, come on over to the picket line. We'll be singing over there. We'll be singing over there. Oh, we'll be singing over there.
Oh, yeah, proud to march with P9 Dennis Jones. Well, let's go along in the same vein. When I was a kid in Salt Lake City, there was an outfit called Hercules Powder. And, you know, when I was a kid, when I was 12, 14 years old, you could go to Hercules Powder and buy blasting powder and blasting caps, all that stuff, you know. It's all disappeared, and you know why. Well, Hercules Powder was bought by Hexcel, a multinational corporation. Well, anyway, they had to go on strike. Here's Linda Freeman, one of the striking workers, to tell you about it. And then you'll hear the Hexcel strike song that was sent to me by its author, Kyle Woolley, Local 2591, Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers Union.
It's a case of a company who came in here and took over an established facility that had been in business for years and years and years out here, had developed more or less family relationship with their employees, and over the course of the years we'd build up a good relationship and a fairly decent standard of living. This company came in and said the average wage in the state of Utah is not this high, and so we're cutting your wages by, well, the average cut was $3.50 an hour. And some were higher, some were lower than that, the cuts that they made. On top of that, they took our employee contribution to health care and tripled it in most cases. The I think the family payment is right around $90 a month now, where it was running around 20 before. And on top of that, they chose to say the highest paid operator's job will take from that from being a bid job and make it be one we just pick and choose who we want, irregardless of seniority, to have the highest paid operator's job. So it's a big, it's a combination of things, but mostly it's a matter of they came in here and said, we're going to do this to you because we can, and take it or leave it. And Utah workers will take it. We know you'll take it. And so it's a leading edge that's going to erode the standard of living for the whole entire state of Utah. Yeah. If they get away with this here, you know it's going to happen everywhere.
On the far side of the valley, next to the gravel pit, there's a dirty yellow factory with a funny smell to it. It never was a picnic, not a real good place to work. But who'd have thought that fibers could have gotten any worse? Hexel, we won't let it pass. Hexel, we got nothing left to lose. Hexel, you made your move too fast. You can kiss our ass. We're sticking with the union. In the year of 96, in the month of July, they cut the wages by a third and took our bidding rights. We were looking for an answer. We were looking for a sign. Come out and watch us carry it on the picket line. Hexel, we won't let it pass. Hexel, we got nothing left to lose. Hexel, you made your move too fast. You can kiss our ass. We're sticking with the union. In the land of Zion's, the working man's a patsy. Democrats are Republicans, Republicans are Nazis. Play one against the other, wave the flag and tell your lies. Laugh behind your back when you try to do what's right. Hexel, we won't let it pass. Hexel, we got nothing left to lose. Hexel, you made your move too fast. You can kiss our ass, we're sticking with the union. Yeah, you can kiss our ass, 'cause we're sticking with the union.
Hexel Strike Song, Kyle Woolley from my old hometown, Salt Lake City, Utah. I went to a storytelling festival in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I give myself one thing a month to do these days, considering the condition of my heart. Although I got to admit, I'm doing damn well, considering. But while I was back there in Ann Arbor, some folks from Detroit asked me if I would come over to Detroit and do a benefit for the Detroit newspaper strike against Detroit news agency, DNA. It was the Trumbull Theater that called, and I'd never heard of the Trumbull Theater. Well, I drove over there, or I was driven over there, through acres and acres of ruins that looked like it'd been under a bomb attack. I mean, rows of burnt-out buildings and devastation. And then some very, very old and dilapidated brownstone houses that obviously used to be doctors' houses. One of them had an attached carriage house out and back, and that was the Trumbull Theater. And it was run by anarchists who really understood the meaning of that word. And folks, people who lived there, worked there, shared meals, and kept that theater going. There was nobody there that was over 20 years old. Boy, put the heart right back into you. I walked on the stage, and the newspaper workers were all there. I mean, all the strikers were there. They had their own speaker. They had their own singers. Of course, that was about 3 minutes before I went on stage. I got a call from Joanna, my wife, to tell me that Judy Berry had died, the great organizer from Northern California and a friend of mine. So I walked right on the stage, tears pouring down my face, and I sat right down and sang Mother Jones, a song of Mother Jones. Well, what I want you to listen to right now, though, is one of the strike songs. All of the music that I'm playing for you is being done by wage workers off the job because they're on strike. By the way, the Detroit Newspaper Union still publishes a Sunday paper, and it's one of the best papers I ever got. I get it every week. $15 for 3 months. If you want it, and it'll help the strike, you call 313-964-5655, 313-964-5655. Let's listen to Ellis Ball and the workers of the Detroit Newspaper Union singing the Battle of Gate 3.
We fought the battle of DNA, DNA, DNA. We fought the battle of DNA, and the paper came tumbling down. The newspaper said to the workers here, we've drawn a line in the sand. We've got hundreds of cops from 13 towns for the gates of the Sterling Heights plant.
We fought the battle of DNA, DNA, DNA. We fought the battle of DNA, and the paper came tumbling down.
So the people came to 228 that fateful Labor Day. Thousands marched down Mound Road and
made it Freedom Way.
Oh,
we fought the battle of DNA, DNA, DNA. We fought the battle of DNA, and the paper came tumbling down.
Right up to the fence at gate 3, we marched with signs in hand. The company blasted a semi-truck through the fence up to our band. Ho! Oh,
we fought the battle of DNA, DNA, DNA. We fought the battle of DNA, and the paper came tumbling down.
But the line held fast and stopped the truck. It backed up through the crowd. The union commanded the people to shout, and the paper
came tumbling down. Ho! Oh, we fought the battle of DNA, DNA, DNA. We fought the battle of DNA, and the paper came tumbling down.
Now DNA is tall and tough, with cops and guards in power. When people unite and hold all night,
the victory is ours. We fought the battle of DNA, DNA, DNA. We fought the battle of DNA, and the paper came tumbling down.
Yeah,
we fought the battle of DNA, DNA, DNA. We fought the battle of DNA, and the paper came tumbling down.
Oh, yeah, Detroit newspaper strike. Now, that strike's still going. The newspapers tell you it's over, but it's a lockout now. And, of course, where you get your information from the newspapers, they're not going to tell you anything about it. You got to listen to your community radio, and that's where you're going to find this sort of thing, you see. There are some friends that I ran into called General Strike up there in Portland, Oregon. Now, these are mainly letter carriers who get together and hoist a few and make up songs. And then they've never recorded them. They did this one for me especially because I heard them sing it down at this Western Workers Heritage Festival. The spark plug behind that is Jim Cook, who used to be the president of the local and is an old friend of mine. They made up a Cracker Jack song. I mean, it's a song that you're never going to hear on the radio because it's so ragged and raw but with a whole lot of juice in it. Before that, I'd like you to listen to another member of the Vancouver Industrial Writers Union, an old friend, a working logger by the name of Mark Warrior. Here's his poem, Seven Long, and then Rotten Bosses.
Seven Long, for Mike Freilinger, hook tender, organizer and first president of Local 1-367, Haney of the IWA, communist. Sprawled around a stump, we ignore the sweat beading on our foreheads, brush away horseflies, and watch the turn cartwheeling towards the landing. The hooker catches a shiver in the back line and cracks a joke about the Siwash, which broke a couple of saplings and both his legs 3 years ago. My bones turn hollow, cold, like a February morning. Unbidden, a raven plucking at an upturned eye, the memory returns. A heap of yellow rain gear sprawled across torn earth and rotting snow. A decayed tooth, his tail hold, stands stark against the blood-red shattered stumps where the Siwash cut across the creek and through the alder thicket. I blow, seven long, slow, urgent. The whistle demands silence, demands that the woods foreman explain what fish in February required shade and Mike's death to spawn. That 40 years of struggle not end, huddled against the northern bank of a nameless creek. I blow, seven long, the yarder falls quiet, the grapple shuts down. I can hear my corks crunch the snow over the idling of the engines of the trucks in the landing. Then Mike shakes free and starts walking. I watch as Mike, no more a logger, merely a 65-year-old cracked pelvis, bleeding belly, and crushed vertebra, refuses the stretcher, refuses all help, and starts walking, alone and for the last time, towards the landing.
Well, here is a song that reveals General Strike's poetic side. Written by Howard and Jay, it's full of delicate nuances and exquisite sensibilities. It's called Go to Hell, Rotten Bosses.
We join hands
with Joe Hill,
Ralph Chaplin, and Florence Reese. Stand together in this fight for our rights. Hear our song,
hear our
call,
equal
rights for workers all. And go to hell, rotten bosses, go to hell. Well, I was alone. So I picked up my telephone.
Who'd you call?
And I called my union hall.
What'd you tell him?
Said I'm tired of this shit. I'm fed up, and you know I've had it. So go to hell, rotten bosses, go to hell.
If at work you feel beat, fight back, get off your seat. Rally behind your union's banner. The boss plays golf in Palm Springs, pays politicians to wreck our dreams.
So go to hell, rotten bosses, go to hell. So go down in the pit to the darkness of the abyss, where the stench of sulfur shrivels your soul, where the heat melts your skin and the maggots crawl on in. Go to hell, rotten bosses, go to hell.
Hey, boss, do you sleep well in your crimson robes while your factories poison the streams by workers' homes? Then their kids play in the water. What if cancer took your own daughter?
Go to hell, rotten bosses, go to hell. So go down in the pit to the darkness of the abyss, where the stench of sulfur shrivels your soul,
melts your skin, and the maggots crawl on in. Go to hell, rotten bosses, go to hell. Yes, the time will arrive, you in boardrooms who connive, when we rise up as one and all, arm in arm, side by side, we will not be cast aside. We'll go to hell, rotten bosses. Go to hell. Where the heat melts your skin.
Well, that's pretty damned earthy, kind of basic, wouldn't you say? It's a bunch of wage workers, letter carriers, having a whale of a good time expressing their true feelings through song. I'm glad I had a chance to play that one for you. We have a new Musicians Local, Local 1000, Traveling Musicians Local 1000. A lot of people, Charlie King, John McCutcheon, John O'Connor, worked very, very hard to bring this about so that traveling musicians, over-the-road folkies, can access a pension plan and reasonable health insurance. The business agent for Traveling Musicians Local 1000 is John O'Connor, but himself a fine singer, a fine musician. Let's listen to John O'Connor singing his song, We Ain't Gonna Give It Back.
Oh, we worked and we fought for the little bit that's ours, and we ain't gonna give it back. While you ride around in your Cadillac cars, and we ain't gonna give it back. You take away our bread and butter and you say it's just fine, but we're gonna stand out on the picket line. You tried it before, but I'll tell you this time, we ain't gonna give it back. Oh no, we ain't gonna give it back. No, we ain't gonna give it back. We ain't gonna give it back. No, we ain't gonna give it back. Now you want our wages and our benefits too, but we ain't gonna give it back. It's always less for us and more for you, but we ain't gonna give it back. Oh, your profits are higher than they've ever been. The economy's a mess, cause you're greedier than sin. You're never gonna care about the shape we're in. So we ain't gonna give it back. Oh no, we ain't gonna give it back. Oh no, we ain't gonna give it back. We ain't gonna give it back. No, we ain't gonna give it back. It's the sweat of the workers that built the company, so you can fill your money sack. And now you want more while the rest of us are poor, but we ain't gonna give it back. It's the same old story of the rich and the poor. It's mighty plain to see what the union is for. What was it that my mama told me about a class war? We ain't gonna give it back. Oh no, we ain't gonna give it back. No, we ain't gonna give it back. Give it back, no sir, we ain't gonna give it back.
Well, that's it for this edition. I'm sorry to have to fade that one out. We do not run a particularly tight show. You know, I get rolling and I sometimes don't know when to stop. This has been Utah Phillips with Loafer's Glory, Hobo Jungle of the Mind. Shop Noise by Michael Taylor. I hoist 4 15-foot lengths of angle from the snow to my shoulder. I carefully walk them to the spray booth and into the shop. I dropped them on the cement floor to break up the snow and ice buildup. The clang and crash reverberate off the cindercrete wall cement floor with a deafening roar. Fred stands with the cutting torch, watching my squinched up face, waiting for the noise to subside. Did you drop your watch?